Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Hello, welcome in to Jayhawk Talk Radio here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm Kevin Meckley. Andrew Payne is across from me. My boy Kyle Collier here, punching on the buttons for us tonight. We got an abbreviated show, but man, we could not let another opportunity go by to come in here and talk about the Hawks and March Madness. This sound that you hear, that's my bracket. The printed bracket. That's how I roll. Do you roll with a printed bracket, Andrew?
I always do printed bracket.
Printed bracket. Old school.
Even at work, I'm a paper guy. So you know I'm going to be a printed bracket guy. I like drawing it out, writing the team. When you're doing the click, the CBS click, the ESPN click.
You can't write zags.
Not satisfying.
You can't write Illini.
Your own. Yeah, like, and we got a bunch of other names. So Wazoo.
Your own abbreviations.
Own abbreviations that you get to do.
That's so important. I do not have
Wazoo advancing. Well, but like, I'm just giving you examples of abbreviations. But it's satisfying to have pen, paper.
You gotta do it.
Pen, because you just.
You can't do pencil.
It's easier to just go with your gut.
You can't erase. Yeah, absolutely. Well, look, we've got a lot to talk about in just an hour's show here, Andrew. Number one, right off the top, we heard from Bill Self just a day ago about this time, goes on and mentions something that we were a little worried may happen. And sure enough, Kevin McCullough will not be playing, at least in these first two games, and likely for the entire tournament. He says he's shut down. Let's hear that audio now, and let's react to that.
Kevin's not going to play. Kevin's says his knee pain has not subsided any, and it's too bad for him to be able to contribute. So Kevin will not play.
How tough is that to watch a kid that has given so hard and comes back for another year not be able to do it? So yeah. At least for the first round.
No, he's out. We're shutting him down for the tournament. So if we're fortunate enough to win two games, we would have done it without him. And he hadn't practiced in 6 weeks. Basically, and so he hasn't done more damage to his knee, but he tried to do it and said that he just couldn't go.
Will Kevin be with the team though?
Kevin is with the team. Yeah, Kevin's with the team. I mean, heck, he tried and he tried and was going through rehab and it just didn't get any better. The other weeks it progressively got a little bit better, and this week it just didn't. So with consultation with doctors and with Kevin and where he is mentally and physically right now, it's best for him to go ahead and shut it down. Unfortunately for us and more so for him, but there was really no decision to be made because he can't go.
No, sir.
So there you have it. Bill Self. In front of some building. Did you see that?
The hotel.
Video? The hotel.
Right outside the hotel.
Surrounded by the press. Lots of microphones out. Says that Kevin will be not playing. In fact, he says, quote, we're shutting him down for the tournament. Now, Andrew, I want to back you off just a less than a week. Let me give you a quote. Kevin will not play this week, but that's a positive, too, because everyone thinks this time off will obviously help him. So he, quote, will play in the NCAA tournament as well. And we'll pause for an applause break at Johnny's Tavern right here. There's an applause break. There you go. Our goal for Kevin is very similar to Hunt, non-contact stuff, and then Monday be contact. We're the least healthy we've been all year, but we should be the most healthy we've been in a long time when the NCAA tournament starts. That was Bill Self just a week ago. So I just want to, at the time, we reacted to that Johnny's Tavern Hawk Talk and said, good for Bill Self. No matter what, good for Bill Self, because you got to say all that stuff to make sure the selection committee doesn't downseed you because you don't think your best players are going to be in the lineup. And then we fast forward to yesterday, and sure enough, Kevin McCullough is out. Hunter sounds like he's feeling good. That's the good news here. Hunter sounds like he's feeling good. He gave a very positive outlook for Hunter. But what's your reaction to that?
I'm not going to hold Bill Self accountable for those statements that he made a week ago at Hawk Talk. Because, as we mentioned on this show, I believe it was a week ago, or it was maybe it was the, before the Cincinnati game. We said that the audience that he was directing those comments to, and in fact they had telephone calls with this group of people, that was with the selection committee, and he was telling the committee, we are going to be full strength, and he was going under the assumption that he did not have to provide all the information. He's going under the assumption that everybody was going to play. And if you have all those five starters, you should rank the Kansas Jayhawks and you should seed the Kansas Jayhawks to where they should deserve to be the seeded based on their resume. And on their resume, they're probably your 3 or 4 seed. They got a 4 seed. Kevin, if I were to turn that around and tell you, if you would have said, don't know if Kevin's going to go, don't know if Hunter's going to go, or let's just assume that neither of them are going, and you were trying to not necessarily go off of resume, but based on how good this team is, where does this team deserve to be ranked or to be seeded without those two players?
I mean, 6, 7? I mean, what have we seen from this team without those two guys?
Bad.
Bad. Real bad.
Real bad.
Real bad. Like miss the tournament bad.
Right.
And that, you know, you can't completely hold it against them because they just haven't played those lineups. Like, it's just, you rolled it out there and they just didn't know what to do. Now, at least we'll have Hunter back. It sounds like Hunter's going to be 100%. So that is great news.
And for, you know, we'll get to, you know, previewing Samford a little bit. But I'm going to tell you, I think that Hunter's the most important player in the game.
Oh, for sure.
And not that, I mean, he's a second-team All-American. He belongs, you know, in that conversation as being one of the best in the country. But, like, so we're not trying to overstate this, but Hunter, in terms of this game and how this game is going to be played, Hunter playing at his best is going to be key to winning. If Hunter doesn't play at his best, or if Hunter doesn't play, this game is going to be hard to win against Samford.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this last time, but Samford gives up 50% from two. The tallest guy is 6'9", and that is generous 6'9". He's more like 6'7". And they don't rebound. So Hunter has the ability to just feast in this game. And really what the difference could potentially be is Samford making 30% of their three-pointers, 40% of their three-pointers, or 20% of their three-pointers. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You got to make a few extra twos to count for threes. The good news is they give up a lot of twos for free. They give a lot of twos for free.
You know who likes free twos?
Who's that?
Hunter Dickinson.
Hunter Dickinson loves free twos.
Loves free twos.
And he likes to rebound the ball, too. It's pretty simple for him when he's a foot taller than everyone on the court. That is a good thing for KU. Now, is KU the same team without Kevin McCullough? We have not seen A-plus basketball from KU without McCullough once this season. Not once. I mean, what is the best you've seen? B-minus? C? I mean, you have not seen A basketball from KU without McCullough on the floor.
I would say that there's a handful. I would defend that a little bit. I mean, did he play against Texas? I mean, I don't know if he played against Texas. And so
no.
that game was probably, that is your platonic ideal of how this team has to play.
Inside Allen Fieldhouse.
Inside, you know, inside the Delta Center in Salt Lake City. You know, we've got to get out, got to run, got to play. But that's a good tournament team against Texas. That's the ceiling, is that Texas game.
And K-State, they played well against K-State. And that's, I mean, but the point, though, is you have to, what we've seen before from the rest of the squad, Hunter notwithstanding, the rest of the squad, everybody has to step up. I mean, that's it.
Like, everybody.
Everybody has to step up. Us to be better.
And when we say there's a lower margin of error, that's what we mean. Is that if one guy doesn't step up, we lose the game.
Probably.
If Nick Timberlake if Nick Timberlake goes 1 for 7 from three,
it's over.
The Jayhawks lose the
probably.
Game.
Probably. Yeah.
If El Marco has 4 turnovers, the Jayhawks probably lose the game or it's close.
They gotta be good.
And if Dwan Harris isn't aggressive offensively, the Jayhawks probably lose the game. It's everything has to go right. The Jayhawks can win these games. The Jayhawks can advance. You know, they can beat Samford and they can beat Gonzaga or McNeese State. But there's a lot has to go right. They have to play up to their potential.
Yeah, and that's That is the thing. I agree with you, by the way. I'm not holding this against Bill Self. I think he honestly believed that McCullough would play.
Well, these are tough, right? These are tough injuries to deal with.
It's a bone bruise he's had for 6 weeks, 8 weeks.
Usually you have these, you know, specific injuries where we have enough data
to tell us
that, okay, a meniscus tear, unless you're Tyshawn Taylor, takes, you know, 2 months to come back from. A sprained ankle takes this much, and et cetera, et cetera. Bone bruises are a little weird, a little different. It's going to take a medical professional to give you the details, but it doesn't seem like the bone bruise is fitting in with any kind of timeline.
All I know is Kevin McCullough has gotten ripped on Twitter, on message boards, on kind of KU. At least the plugged-in KU fan is ripping Kevin McCullough.
And I think that's unfair.
I don't know if it's fair or not. That's the thing. I just don't know. But I do know that the rest of the team came to his defense.
Right.
A lot of the teammates put out statements on their own social media, you know, supporting him. All that can be true. But if you read between the lines of what Bill Self was saying, and I don't know about you, Andrew, but over the course of 20 years or so, I feel like I've become a pretty good Bill Self interpreter. And I don't want to say he's frustrated, he's upset, he's down on McCullough. I don't want to say any of that, but it looked like he was surprised or upset that that Kevin McCullough is not playing.
I think it's fair to say that he was frustrated. I don't think it's fair to say that he
we don't know.
Blamed him or was holding him, you know.
I think he thought he was playing, though.
Yes. Yeah, and that of course is frustrating. Like, this is his time to shine.
He knows how important he is.
This is Bill Self in March. This is 2-time national champion, Hall of Famer, who knows how important this time of year is. Not only for himself. I mean, that's probably, you know, he's not necessarily considering like it's all about me. But for this team, this 2024 basketball team, it is incredibly important at this time of year. You can kind of, you know, just stumble your way through November, December, January, February, but here you are in the NCAA tournament. It's obviously got to be frustrating. What I'm frustrated with, I think, is the know-it-alls on Twitter who think that they have it all figured out and that only Kevin McCullough is to blame. I don't think that's true. If Kevin McCullough isn't able to play, the folks that I'm going to trust the most to tell me about that are, one, Kevin McCullough and his teammates, and I'm going to take them at their word.
But Bill is a master with the media. He chooses every word on purpose. You agree with that, right?
I agree, but he's not going to get anything more out of Kevin McCullough. He's not going to get anything
extra. I understand, but he could have said it differently. He could have said, you know what? It sucks. God, we're so sad for the guy. He's tried his butt off. Man, he's done everything he can to try to get back. He just can't get there. That is not what he said. I mean, you can pitch it however you want.
You're right.
But he did not say it like that. He said, we're going to shut him down. He said, we're shutting him down for the tournament. And the question was, by the way it was teed to him, you might remember the question. The question was like, boy, and I'm not going to get it right, but boy, for a guy who came back for his final year and gave so much to the program, how do you feel about this? Bill Self did not take that bait. He did not say it like that. Like, oh, yeah. Well, boy, you're right. Boy, this sucks. He didn't say that. He literally said, we're shutting him down for the tournament. And he said something to the effect of, this week it didn't get better. After consultation with doctors and with Kevin, with where he is mentally and physically, it's best for him to shut it down. Like, he did not defend his guy that much. I'm just saying that. Like, you can't read that and tell me, boy, Bill Self went to full bat for that kid. He didn't.
I think that's the frustration.
Agree. That could very well be true. Like, it could just be total frustration.
Not necessarily with Kevin, but
the situation, everything.
Showing up in Salt Lake with your team and then realizing that you're not going
to I get it.
You're not going to have the chance. And we'll get to this. We've got a long show to get through, Kevin. But I'll tell you, we'll start with the bad, and then before we go to break, we'll maybe have a little positive light.
Give it to me.
Okay, but on the negative side, You know the line, if we're looking at the betting line, Kevin, the line only moved about half a point.
Half a point?
You know, with...
What's that say about Kevin Sanford? Kohler?
You know, it only moved about half a point, so it's about seven.
It was seven and a half to seven.
It was seven and a half, moved to seven. So, you know, that's not quite good. But I'll tell you, you and I just got back from I guess we'll call it a NCAA contest.
Okay.
We'll just call it a contest, and the Jayhawks did not.
Where you weighed your units?
Just some kind of unit. It's more of it's a recreational activity. We literally just walked in the door from it. And I'll tell you, the Jayhawks did not have a good showing.
That's why I got my paper bracket.
And in Overland Park, Kansas, where this took place, I think the Jayhawks would normally go for twice or three times or four times the value of what they probably deserve.
Units.
And I'll just tell you,
people
I think
are
that,
down.
That is the by and large attitude in Kansas right now, is that this team doesn't necessarily have it. And I guess it's you're comparing it year to year to year to year. Every year, you know, even going back to Roy, I mean, you probably go back to 2000. Going back to Roy, you've got a shot. I mean, if you mark Kansas in as the champion, you're not insane.
It's the dance, baby. Anything could happen.
But this year, it feels a little bit different.
We're going to talk more about this.
But I'm going to tell you, Kevin, don't write the season off yet.
Well, let's talk about that in the next segment. What has to happen for KU to actually make a run? Let's get there.
All right. We're going to tell you. We're going to get you back on track. We're going to tell you that, hey, the sky is not falling.
Yeah.
Here we are. This Kansas Jayhawks team can make a run.
Yeah.
That's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Back in Jayhawk Talk Radio, Sports Radio 810 WHB. The Land Down Under, Andrew. Do you know why we care about this song?
Well, it's about a basketball player who plays for the Kansas Jayhawks, who I haven't seen much of in the past month, but we need to now.
We do need that from him. Can I also tell you that there's a guy from Samford, one of their best players. You know where he's from?
He's from Australia.
He's from Australia. Oh, no, it's Aussie on Aussie fight on Thursday night. How about that? Aussie on Aussie fight. Let's get into what the heck has to happen for KU to somehow, let's just call it, make a run. And run could be anything. I think it depends on who you talk to right now. What KU making a run means, is a Sweet 16 a run? I think so.
I'll tell you, I think you're right. Is if this team is in the Sweet 16 a week from now, if you and I are sitting here in the studio talking about a Kansas-Purdue matchup.
That's a run.
That's a run.
That's a run.
And I think that's the Jayhawk fans are used to these longer runs, these higher expectations. These expectations have shortened considerably. Very considerably. It's people are making plans for next weekend without a game to watch.
Yeah.
It's you know what on TV are you going to watch? What new thing are you going to binge? What movie are you going to go to? What thing are you going to go do? I think that's out of line. I think we need to watch this team, and I'll tell you why. Is that let's look at the teams in front of us. In front of the Jayhawks are the Sanford Bulldogs that we're going to play tomorrow night at 8:45 p.m.
9:15.
No, it's going to be later. You're right. It's going to be later. And then after that, if the Jayhawks get through Sanford, it's McNeese State and it's Gonzaga. Gonzaga is not who we thought they were. Not who the committee thought they were. It's not who America thought they were. They're okay.
They've been okay the last month.
They're okay.
They've been decent.
They've got good metrics, but they've only the team that they've played of note in the past 2 months, 2.5 months, is St. Mary's. Have not done well against them. This is not the Gonzaga of old, and you know, Gonzaga of the past 10 years is what I really mean. So it's not like you're facing an Auburn. It's not like you're facing an Alabama in the second round. This team in the second round with Gonzaga is beatable. McNeese is almost a carbon copy of Sanford. So just go out and do the same scouting report. If you can beat Sanford, you can beat McNeese, and then you're in the Sweet 16. I think that it's doable. This is not, you know, all for naught. And then once you get to Purdue, you know, you got to like the matchup. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that this team could advance. We need to adjust expectation in the sense of, you know, for some fans, the tournament doesn't begin for them really until the Elite Eight. And that's too bad, because there are other fan bases where making the tournament is so exciting for them, and they're so, you know, all this build up to the first game. We are really not looking forward to the Stanford game.
I'm not going to let you try to lower the expectations for KU, though. This is a blue blood program, a preseason number one, who has one player out.
I'm not lowering the expectations, but I'm saying that let's try to make this postseason fun.
Okay, you just want to be fun.
I just want to have fun.
I get that. And by the way, expectations are what at this point have gotten so low that it's actually possible to overexceed.
You're right.
And that's what's so wild about this. You look down, you're like, KU made it to the Sweet 16. Pretty good. That's a preseason number one team, and people are like, you know what? Hey, by the way, find me a national guy who has KU to the Sweet 16. Find me one. Is there one?
There's one. Yeah, Joseph Robinette Biden.
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden.
That's a national guy.
Joe Biden has the.
I mean, that is a national guy.
Joe Biden has the Jayhawks in the Elite Eight.
Hey. But he's the only one.
He may be the only one.
He's the only one. Anyone who follows college basketball could not be more fired up for Samford, could not be more fired up for whoever else that McNeese, whoever else is in front of us. Nobody has KU even make it to the Sweet 16, which is so wild to me. And everyone talks about, oh boy, no bench and they're beat up. No bench and they're beat up. No bench. You know what? Like, for two games, these 19 to 20-year-olds could suck it up and play 38 minutes. I mean, at the end of the day, these guys are going to be fine. The bench thing, I am over. Now, let's get to the point here. To win, our dude's still got to play good. I mean, we need Nick Timberlake to look across the floor and see another mid-major and go, These are the people I know how to beat. Who does he see across the floor? He sees a bunch of 6'3", 6'4", 6'5", white dudes. He knows how to beat those guys. He's from Towson. He knows how to shoot 40% against them. And guess what? Who's he having the next round? Someone who looks like dudes he played against in Towson. Nick Timberlake, it is Nick Timberlake's time. It is Nick Timberlake's time. What if Nick Timberlake just goes up? What if Nick Timberlake becomes the czar of March Madness?
The czar.
What if he just becomes the dude?
I think it's less likely that Nick Timberlake is quote unquote the dude.
But what if he is?
I think it's more likely that it's Johnny Furphy. If Johnny Furphy wants to play in the NBA next year,
it is time.
It is time over these next couple days. It's really Friday and Saturday, because if he shows out on Friday and Saturday, then I think he can make it in. He doesn't necessarily need to have a good Sweet 16 game against Purdue to make it into the lottery.
Thursday, Saturday. Yeah, okay.
Thursday, Saturday. He doesn't necessarily need to have a Sweet 16 game against Purdue or whoever. But if he goes out and is the alpha on the floor, is not hesitant to take shots, can create for himself, which he should be able to do against these types of teams, Then he can show these scouts.
It is time.
But if he can't, then he's probably back next year. Which, you know, take that for what it's
would
worth.
Be great. But he has not put a lot of good tape on the tape, play on the tape in the last what, 3 weeks, month.
I mean, he had about 3 weeks of good tape.
Yeah, it is time for Johnny Furphy to step up. That is accurate. We already talked about what we need from Hunter, which is exactly what we've had the entire season, maybe like 110% of that. We need him to be probably the best he's played. And then I think still most importantly, we need Juan to be good. We need good Juan.
What is good Juan to you?
Good Juan to me is somebody who does not shy away from, first of all, shooting open threes. Wide open threes, shoot it. Juan, shoot it. Shoot the ball. He's still at an open three-pointer, one of the best on the team. And people don't know, like, he's the, one of the best on the team at a wide-open three-pointer. He's going to get those. And then the other thing is just not hesitating, just being aggressive. And that does not mean driving and throwing the ball to God knows what. It means just being aggressive with a plan. And he was so good at that last year. He was so good at that. He would drive, and you knew exactly, like, when he got into the congestion, something good happened. This year, it feels like when he gets in the congestion, it could be going anywhere. And some of that might be the cast of characters around him. I don't care. He still needs to be the guy.
So what do you think? I mean, what is the most likely outcome? I mean, let's take the first game. I mean, are you predicting a win? Are you, you know, what percentage are you at? I mean, when you're watching this game tomorrow and you said, see, I told you that was going to happen. What is that?
It's KU winning the game any way they can. I don't care how they win. They got to win the game. You can't lose to Samford. You can't. Like, that. I don't care if you're out McCullough or not. Like, that would be a severe disappointment. You're a 7-point favorite, even without McCullough. You got to win the game. Like, you can't. We can't go home tomorrow. If we go home tomorrow, it is a disappointing season, disappointing end to a disappointing season. And everybody on Twitter and everywhere else who's just blasted KU probably has everything all the ammo they need to continue to do that. That you can't lose tomorrow.
And then on Saturday,
I think it depends on the outcome. If it's a 1-point game against Gonzaga, hard fought, whatever, you know, I think you're right at expectation zone. You're right at what people kind of expected. And if you get through Sweet 16, if you somehow get through to the Sweet 16, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. There will not be a KU fan who goes, yeah, but they're still going to lose in the Elite. Like, you, at that point, it's house money. If I hear people talking about KU in a negative light at that point, I don't care how we get there. If you win and get to the Sweet 16, all you got to do is somehow just kind of win another game and you're in the Elite Eight. Somehow win another game and you're fine. Like, that is where we need to be. But if we lose, man, if we lose tomorrow, that would be bad.
It would be bad. But I'll tell you, if the Jayhawks advance to the Sweet 16 against Purdue, we become what we never get to be, which is a fun underdog.
Absolutely.
A fun underdog. A story. These crafty, these plucky underdog Jayhawks.
Nobody has us there.
I mean, and that's what we want. And I'll say this about Bill Self is Bill Self has never been in this position.
That's true.
Bill Self has never been in this position.
He's got real stuff to put on the board
as being an underdog, as being you got to beat somebody above you, and really to face some adversity. You know, you can look back and you can look back at, you know, McCormick getting COVID in 2021. You can look back at Embiid in 14 getting hurt. And maybe, you know, Big Dub was sort of hurt in 4 or 5. But other than that, there's not been a ton. This is an opportunity to show some adversity, show your coaching skill in advance when you're not supposed to.
It is time. Izzo's made a career off of this. I mean, Bill Self, it's your turn to match Izzo as the underdog who somehow just continues to beat teams ahead of you. Now, here's the thing, though. I'm looking down at this bracket. I don't see two teams with a higher or lower seed than Kansas in the Sweet 16 to get to the Sweet 16. You're playing a 13 and a 12 or 5. Got to go beat those teams.
Got to beat them. All right, we're going to talk about how to do that. We're going to talk about the rest of your bracket. So there's a lot of people probably scrambling to fill out brackets.
It's time.
We're going to give you some value picks.
You got just hours.
We're going to give you what to do to win your office pool. And we're going to close out with some Jayhawks. What they're going to do and what our final predictions here. And that's right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back in Sports Radio 810 WHB. During the break, I was telling Kyle and Andrew about a dream I had last night. And this is a dead serious dream. I woke up so much so that it's dead serious. The second I woke up, I tweeted it. I put it on social media, Jayhawk Talk.
It's a little weird. Just gonna preview this for everybody. It's a little weird.
Which tells you it's real. Like, I'm not making this up. So here's the dream, right? I'm sitting courtside. It's a tournament game. Kansas is flying around the court. I mean, guys are diving everywhere. I see KJ just diving on the floor. Friggin' Timberlake's diving to balls. And the other team gets so worked up by the run that KU's having because of this havoc. They call a timeout. And out runs onto the court. You know what happens, you know, during a timeout? All the people come out with the broom, those brushes. You know, the brushes where they, like, mop up the sweat?
Oh, yeah. Well, like Jerome Tang.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly that. Holding the brush is Jared Haas, former KU basketball player, and Russell Robinson, among others. Guys just grabbed brooms and went out and were mopping
There's
up.
There's so much sweat.
There's so much sweat.
So much sweat. That, well, Jared Haas doesn't have a job anymore.
Well, he's got
and
room.
Russ, I actually talked to Russ last summer, and he could probably do it. He's around.
He's around. So I lean over to whoever's next to me, I don't remember, and I say, guys, if they're going to play like this, they might actually go on a run. And on the way off the court, Russell Robinson runs right past me on press row and winks at me. The second I make that point, I think they're going to go on a run. Russell Robinson winks at me. I wake up like a split second later. I tweet the whole thing. I think this is a sign, Andrew. This is a sign. Now, let me also tell you, I had a dream about bats in my house last night, too. So I'm not sure about either one of these things going well, but I'm telling you, there's a sign. The Jayhawks are going on a run because Russell Robinson winked at me.
The most unlikely part of that dream is that you were sitting courtside.
That's true.
That's true. Russell Robinson and Jared Haas, like,
hold the mops.
Putting in the extra work is more likely.
Let's talk about brackets. I got my paper bracket right here.
We're going to help you win your office pool. You've got to get that thing in to the weird guy in marketing by 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Otherwise, you're not eligible.
Hey, Jan, get your bracket in.
Jan, you got to give it to Nathan over there in marketing.
Get it in.
To be eligible for the office.
You got to defend your title from last year,
Jan.
All
right, so I'm going to tell everybody in terms of bracket tips, if you're picking UConn this year, it's going to be unlikely that you're going to win. Everyone's going to pick UConn, and if UConn makes the final, you're going to have to beat out everyone other ways. You're going to have some other, you know, weird things happen and some teams win. Some weird teams get to the Final Four. So I don't think that betting UConn, while maybe statistically is more likely based on the numbers, is the smarter play if you want to win your pool. What do you think about that?
When was the last time you saw four ones?
2008.
It was a good year, by the way, 2008. Yeah, ones are not all going to make it. Don't pick chalk. Don't be chalky. Chalky's boring. You're not going to win your pool with chalk. You're just not. Pick some upsets. You got to pick upsets. I like your take, Andrew. UConn's going to be very chalky. Do not pick UConn. So if you want to win a pool, like if you want to win a pool.
That's right. That's what we're doing. We're trying to win a pool here. You can have your pool bracket, and you can have your, like, this is my predicting the future. This is what I'm trying to will into existence bracket. Those can be two different things.
Yeah. About 2/3 of the time, the team that is favored wins, but that's 1/3 of the time they don't. And so look down at 1/3 of your bracket and pick up sets for 1/3 of them. I mean, really, that's what it takes. There's going to be about 12 such games over the course of the tournament that a crazy thing happens. And your goal is to try to be creative and pick those. Let's give a few of those now, Andrew. Let's march down. We don't have to go through the round of 32 because the round of 32 doesn't matter. What we're really trying to target are those Sweet 16 teams that might just be a surprise. So do you have a surprising Sweet 16 team, Andrew, something that maybe people aren't predicting? And then once you make it to the Sweet 16, as we talked about before, anything's possible. Now you're in a much shorter tournament at that point.
A team that I like is a team out of Arizona. Grand Canyon University, coached by a Drew.
That's true.
Scott Drew's brother, Bryce Drew. You know, he was a hot coach and got hired at Vanderbilt, had a couple, you know, did okay at Vanderbilt, and then had a winless season based on a lot of factors. It was, you know, injuries and just kind of, and COVID played a role in that. So they go over, they fire Bryce Drew, and everyone agrees that they shouldn't have fired Bryce Drew. This is a good coach that just had some bad luck for 1 year. Vanderbilt has not had any luck since then, and Bryce Drew has taken over for Dan Marley for Grand Canyon and done very well with a former Jayhawk, Tyon Grant Foster.
And that's a 12 seed over a 5, also a very common upset in the first round.
So 12 over 5, that's 12 over of St. Mary's. That's
who
one,
are they?
That is, you know,
who are they?
Unfortunately, they put two mid-majors there. You know, I wish they would match some of those mid-majors against majors. Because I like St. Mary's, but I think if you're looking for some value, Grand Canyon is a place to look.
Not a bad pick, Andrew. I like that. Have you ever heard of a team by the name of Samford? Have you? I'm just joking.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
Oh, no.
Hang on. Let me go back to that.
No.
Let me go back to the drawing board here. Well, let me see. Let's not do that one. That would not be good, although let me tell you, a pretty popular pick. Pretty popular pick. So is the other team in that little pod too. McNeese, another 12 seed. Andrew, let me give you one that I kind of like that maybe not a lot of people are talking about to make not just a Sweet 16, but like make a run. Like let's give a couple of those type teams, the teams that will knock off, you know, take a 4 seed or lower that make it to maybe the Elite Eight. I like Alabama. Andrew, they can score like crazy. Defense does not matter. Defense optional with Alabama. They have to go through that same Grand Canyon team potentially, but then they got who I think is the softest number one UNC, and I think they can get past them.
I like that a lot. If we're talking strategy, something that I like, and this is taking the fading UConn, you know, because assuming everyone else in the accounting department is going to take UConn, you got to go against that because there's going to be no value to you there. It's look to the east. I actually really like Illinois, Iowa State, and Auburn.
Yeah,
I so pick somebody.
Pick your favorite.
Pick somebody other than UConn on the 2, 3, or 4 line. And go there.
This is game theory, by the way.
Absolutely.
People all predict UConn to win. Like, well, let's not get it twisted. Like, UConn is the favorite to win the whole thing.
And so if you pick Iowa State, and Iowa State makes the Final Four, and everyone else has picked UConn, you're already ahead of the game. By the way, we're watching Grambling State and Montana State. We have got a buzzer beater. We're going to overtime.
Going to overtime.
This is 16, March.
16-16. Going
this
to overtime.
This is March.
First four. Let's go.
All right. I wish we'd had a buzzer beater there watching this live. Grambling State, Montana State. But here we are going to overtime. So anyway, to get back to what I was talking about, we've got Iowa State, Illinois, and Auburn. I actually really like all those teams. If those teams were in other sides of the bracket, I would probably be having those teams go further.
It's a tough,
maybe
tough
even going
region.
To the Final Four. Of those three, who do you like the best, Kevin?
Probably the Illini. I'll take them over Iowa State. I know Iowa State is the hot team. That's the team that some people think should have been a 1 seed. I'm not among those, but... give me the Illini over Iowa State in that Elite Eight matchup.
Okay, I'm going to go Auburn against Iowa State in that Elite Eight matchup.
Let's go.
And I'll go Auburn.
Okay, there you go. What about, Andrew, in that, let's see, which region is that? That's the Houston region.
It's the South.
Are you fading Houston in the South? Because I think a lot of people are thinking about fading Houston in the South. Maybe a little recency bias after Iowa State destroyed them. And we've seen at times that they can't score, that they rely on a physical style of play that may not translate to the tournament. What do you think? Is a Kentucky, is a Marquette, is a Florida, NC State maybe? Is there an upset brewing in the South, or do you like Houston?
Kevin, I really, really want to fade Houston. I really want to. I can't. I think the only team that can sniff Houston is Kentucky.
Give me Kentucky out of the South. They're in my Final Four.
You know, if I had to pick an Elite Eight matchup of any of these regions, I think a Houston-Kentucky matchup is most likely.
Could be fun.
between the two of those, I mean, that's a tough game. Contrasting styles, I think it makes for an interesting matchup. I think I take Houston out of that, but I think it's closer than people think.
You know what? No one's talking about Duke, too. That's another
one.
No one is talking about Duke. Like, Duke is getting as much love as KU is. It's just kind of fascinating. Like, no one is talking about Duke. That's another one. Like, I'm not, like, don't get it wrong. I'm not talking about Duke either, but no one's talking about Duke.
Are you taking the Catamounts?
No. I still have Duke winning in the round of 32 over Vermont.
I took Vermont.
I know you did. I know you did.
If you want a little hot tip out there, you want to go nuts, folks. You want to go out on a ledge. Vermont's the team.
Let's get out to the West because we got UNC. You got Zona as the number two. You got Baylor as the number three. And that Bama team that I kind of like. Who do you like coming out of the West?
Is it okay for me to say I have no idea?
Yeah, sure.
This is the one that, like, it perplexes me the most. The one I can't, like, craft a narrative
for. I did struggle
for.
With this, too.
I can't say, you know, ultimately I think it's Arizona.
That's who I picked. That was my
I think I'm going Arizona there. But, you know, I think maybe the hate has gone too far in North Carolina. Everybody says, like, oh, North Carolina got put on the one line illegitimately. They didn't deserve to be there.
I think a UNC-Zona matchup would be a blast.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I
take Arizona, though.
Okay. I'm right there with you. Now, we've talked about every region, Andrew.
Except for the Midwest.
Let's get there.
Midwest is best.
Let's get there. So, Purdue, obviously the one seed, Tennessee down there. This is the one, and you hear a lot of national folks talk about how the East is the toughest. But the next toughest might be the Midwest. I disagree. I think Purdue is proven, I think very seriously, legitimately, that the March Madness is not for them, at least the last 3 years, losing to double-digit seeds, including a 16. I think Tennessee, Rick Barnes, has never shown tournament success that gives you any confidence whatsoever. The Zags, as you mentioned earlier, are beatable, although they've been okay recently. Creighton might be a dark horse out of the Midwest. But where are you at with the Midwest? I mean, obviously, KU notwithstanding.
KU withstanding, I'd say, hey, why not?
Okay.
Hey, why not?
Does that mean you're picking KU to the Final Four?
Well, I did.
Okay, well.
Because
okay.
I'm going to do that.
All right. If I made you bet $1,000 right now on one team to make it to the Final Four, who are you betting?
Purdue.
Okay, there you go. I just want to make sure.
I think that's the easier answer here. They've proved it all year. They've got the talent. They're not necessarily the most athletic team, but you know they've lost four games this year, and they've all. You can sort of see the pathway. You can see how they're playing, and they've got a superpower in Zach Edey that. No one can really counteract. And maybe honestly, if you look at this bracket, in terms of teams that can counteract Purdue the best.
Jayhawks.
It's probably the Jayhawks.
Let's go.
It's probably Hunter Dickinson because he's had some success against Zach Edey
defensive,
you know, in his past.
Stalwart. as we know,
well,
Hunter Dickinson. It would be
some,
fun.
At some point, you just got to be tall.
That would be such a fun matchup.
So
and neither of those guys are capable of fouling.
Don't count out the Jayhawks, but Purdue's, you know, a spicy team there.
They are a spicy team. Creighton still seems kind of interesting to me. Tennessee is probably who I pick with a gun to my head. Andrew, give me your final. Give me your final four. You got it figured out.
Houston. Okay. Yeah.
No, let me give you. You got it. You want me to give you mine?
Yeah, we'll go Auburn.
Okay.
Arizona.
Okay.
Houston. Kansas.
Okay, you have one seed in there. I like that.
No chalk.
I have UConn, Arizona, Kentucky, and Purdue. I got a little more chalk than you. There you go.
That's fair.
Okay.
Hopefully you take one little nugget out of that and you are able to win your office
nugget.
Pool. You tell Jake.
We'll take 10%.
Jake from marketing to, you know, get you that money as fast as possible.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, we're going to be back right here on Sports Radio 810. We're going to close out with the Hawks. We're going to give our final predictions on Sanford and whether we're going to be here next week talking about a big Purdue matchup.
Will we be here next week?
Maybe a TCU matchup? I don't know. Maybe it's something else. But anyway, we're going to get to that right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
We got a barn burner here in the NCAA First Four, Grambling State, Montana State in overtime. Get there on your True TV if you got it. Get on your app. We got one segment left here, Andrew, talking March Madness, getting everybody ready for the Hawks taking on. Who are we playing?
The Samford Bulldogs.
Buckyball. It should be quite the game. Let's give a little prediction, and then I got another little topic for you.
Okay. I think if you were looking for just to pick a winner, I think you take the Jayhawks. I think that the narrative has gone a little too far out on a limb. Gone too far out on a limb. At the end of the day, this Buckyball team has only played one tournament team. Purdue, to which they lost by 55. So let's keep some perspective here. There's still a lot of talent on this Jayhawk team. If you're looking for a little bet, you want to buy up some numbers, I say Hawks by 10.
Wow.
Hawks by over 10. So buy some points, get a better line, Hawks by plus 10.
Well, I have KU winning, but I have them winning by less than 8.5 points.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a somewhat uncomfortably close game until KU pulls away late. That's my take. We'll see. Could be interesting. I hope you're right. Like, I hope we win by all the points.
Buy some points.
All the points. And then, Andrew, just again, let's just make a prediction here. Assuming that's true, and I think we can do this, assuming both of our picks are correct, which let's just go there. Does KU win the next game against either Gonzaga or McNeese?
I say yes. I say it's Gonzaga. I say we win by one.
Wow. What a matchup that would be.
It would actually be pretty fun because it's two teams that have not necessarily, you know, with high expectations, have not necessarily lived up to where they want to be. But if either one of those teams wins that game, they kind of end up in a spot where, one, you know, now you're in the game. Now you're still in the game with only 16 teams left, and you kind of have a shot because there's talent there. There is talent there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, so you're taking the Jayhawks to make it to the Sweet 16.
I am.
I'm going to do the same thing.
Good!
My bracket says something different, but you've convinced me, Andrew. I like your one-point narrative. Just that could be fun.
It's all you got to win. You got to win by one point.
You got to win by one. Survive in advance.
You realize you just got to win, have more points just at the win end the game. Than the other one.
Andrew, let me just give you a few things on the mascots. If you're a bracket person who is not sure how to do it, still pick. You guys still fill out a bracket, right? 100% still got to fill out a bracket. Can any guesses on what the top mascot is in the NCAA tournament?
Some kind of dog. I just know there's a lot of bulldogs.
There are a lot of bulldogs. Of course, my computer died as we're talking about this. The answer is bulldog or dogs.
Yes.
And there's also a crap ton of cougars. Cougars everywhere.
A lot of cougars and cats.
Cougars and dogs and cats everywhere. Dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria. So there you go, Andrew. We are right here. Just a couple minutes before the hour, potentially on our last show of the year. But, what if I told you that the Hawks are ready to go on a run?
It's
the
time.
Dream is real.
It's time.
The dream is real.
You know, the Hawks are due.
They're Russell due. Robinson's going to wink at somebody.
I hope he winks at you.
He's going to wink at somebody.
You run into him at a Quick Trip.
He's giving me a little wink.
Give me a little wink like, hey, it's going to be okay.
Like, what happens?
It's going to be okay.
What happens if my dream is true? What happens if Jared Hass runs onto the court with a mop? What happens if that happens? Then what? Then what? Then all you people telling me I'm crazy, then what? Then what are you going to say?
It's a good omen when those two guys, those floorburns types of guys.
Floorburn generals.
I think that's going to be the motto for tomorrow.
That's what we need.
Floorburns.
Look, you got to do something. Rise up. Rise up. All right, let's get out of here, Andrew. God, we appreciate you guys. This has been a fun show, fun season. Let's go out and win a few tourney games now. Let's go rub it in the haters' faces. Let's go show Jeff Goodman and Who else is? Everyone is picked against. Like, pick a national guy they've all picked against KU.
Seth.
Matt Norlander, Seth Davis. Find one that has KU in the Sweet 16. Find one. We're going to prove them wrong. All right, let's get out of here. Appreciate y'all listening. This has been a blast. Rock Chalk. Till next time. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what?